Good morning. It is Sunday, April 10th, 2016, and I am Pastor Mark Dilley of West Valley Grace Fellowship in Sun City West, Arizona. I pray that the message this morning will be used to strengthen you in your faith and encourage you in your walk with our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin this morning by opening our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to begin with verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we bow before you again this morning with grateful and thankful hearts, filled with awe of you, filled with thanksgiving for the grace that you have bestowed upon us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, that we, by faith in him, might receive the gift of eternal life. And so, Heavenly Father, we gather here today in his name to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we confess our ignorance in our flesh to know you, but through your word and by the ministry of your spirit that lives in us, we now do know you and we have been taught. And so, Heavenly Father, that's our heart's desire today, to be open and yielded to your Spirit, that through the ministry of your Holy Word, we might come to know you better, that we might have a desire to serve you with our lives as we wait and look for that glorious hope and blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to take up again our sheet, and there's those sheets up there if anyone doesn't have them, on the contrast between the gospel of the kingdom and, I stole yours, Kay, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. And we're picking up on that 10th point where we're going to contrast the difference between what's called in the Bible the second coming and what many people today call the rapture, or the catching up of the body of Christ to heaven. And there's a multitude of views on these topics. And so I'm not trying to come here as any authority or anything, but simply to share what I believe and what I support through the use of God's Word. A lot of people believe a lot of different things, but can you support it with the truth of God's Word rightly divided? And so there are all kinds of phrases like rapture, partial rapture, no rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture, pre-millennial return of Christ, post-millennial return of Christ, amillennialism. And I'm sure there's many other terms concerning what is going to happen in the future, how it is going to happen, when it is going to happen, and to whom it will happen. But for me, believing in the exclusive message that was committed to the Apostle Paul's trust concerning the gospel of the grace of God it has cleared up much of the confusion for me about future events, particularly for the church, the body of Christ. And not that I have complete knowledge on these things, but at the present time I'm confident in what I believe. And then finally, before we get started, I want to emphasize this point. It's not what we believe about the future that saves us. It's what the message of salvation is for today that is rooted in the cross work of Jesus Christ, which occurred almost 2,000 years ago in the past. It was there in that cross where the sinless Son of God bore our sins in His body on that cross. It was there where He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so, if you believe that to be true and trust that He died for your sins, died in your place, and bore your punishment for your sins, then you're a member of the body of Christ. You are a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. Your future is secured, guaranteed, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf. It is secured through the blood of Christ, and your future is destined precisely as the divine architect has planned it, for His purpose and His glory. It will be as He ordained it, and so trust Him. Because as we look at this 10th point, there's a lot of people that get really heated over disagreement, and it's not meant to be that way. I think we should, as members of the body of Christ, and there's many members of the body of Christ that hold differing views on things, we should be able to be mature, not babes in Christ, not being tossed to and fro. What you believe, if you can support it with Scripture, then stand on it. Your faith is between you and God. But I upset a lot of people with things I say, and they hold differing views and they share them, and I say, well, show me in the Scriptures. And that upsets them even more. It's amazing. They believe with all their heart, but show me in the Scriptures. And when they can't do that, then they start to get heated. And I don't get upset with that either, because at one time I used to get heated too. But anymore, I really believe that if I'm going to know any truth whatsoever, it's by a submissive desire to God. And His Spirit teaches us. And anybody else teaching us is questionable. And so again today, don't accept anything that I say because the pastor said it. I can't believe how many times I've heard that. Well, Pastor so-and-so says, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, I'm speaking in generalities, but I don't care what Pastor so-and-so says unless he's quoting Scripture. And so let's look at this 10th point in our study. The gospel for Israel. Again, and most of you should be by now very familiar. Some of you have been here since the very beginning of this fellowship. And this is the emphasis that this church was established on, is right division of the Word of God. And so there's a gospel for Israel today, and there's a gospel for the church, the body of Christ. The gospel for Israel is found in Genesis chapter 12, all the way through the Gospels, into the early part of the book of Acts. That's all about the gospel of Israel. And then with the conversion of the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ said, He's my chosen vessel to take a message to the Gentiles and their kings and the children of Israel. And so the Apostle Paul was given a very distinct message, and now we're going to talk about a portion of Scripture that the Apostle Paul isn't involved in whatsoever. And we being Gentiles are really not directly involved in that message. But the Old Testament prophets and their prophecies did not give any hint whatsoever of two advents of the Son of God. In their prophecies, they spoke them as if Jesus Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One, what God was going to send here, and He was going to redeem Israel. And this appointed or anointed Messiah would be a humble, sacrificial Lamb of God. He'd also be a king and a warrior deliverer. And it looked in all the prophecies like those two things were all encompassed in one person, and that would be His entire ministry. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ came and the nation of Israel was under Roman rule, they were looking for the warrior king. They wanted somebody who's going to deliver them from their enemies, because that's what this Messiah is going to do one day. Deliver them from their enemies and reestablish Israel as the preeminent nation here on earth. And they really weren't very interested in their need for spiritual redemption first, which was required. And so as we look at this gospel in the second coming, let's begin with by going to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verses 13 through 16. Israel has rebelled against God in the Old Testament. A nation has been divided. They have 10 northern tribes and 2 southern tribes, and they're all in rebellion, and they're going to go into captivity and all these things. And so now the word of God comes to Isaiah, and he's sharing it, and he says this to them: "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to His servants, but His fury will be shown to His foes. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and His chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down His anger with fury, and His rebuke with flames of fire. For with fire and with His sword, the Lord will execute judgment upon all men, and many will be those slain by the Lord." When the Israelites had this truth, when they were reading this truth, when they were hearing this truth, that's what they wanted, and that's what they were expecting. Did that happen when their Messiah came? Obviously not. And so this hasn't been fulfilled yet. But they didn't know that. To most of the Israelites yet today, they're still looking for His first advent. They aren't a bit concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, the nation of Israel that's over there today is not truly the nation that's going to be restored to Jerusalem one day. Let's go to Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Did that happen when he came? Yes. And so that part was fulfilled. Let's go on to down to verse chapter 14 and verse 4 of Zechariah. Now this is the same book. It's talking about the Messiah coming. And in Zechariah 14:4, it says, "On that day His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south." Did that happen? Not yet. Verse 9, "The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and His name the only name." Has that happened yet? No. And so that's what's so important to understand about the gospel that is preached to Israel. The second coming, we all believe, I hope, that the Messiah did come, that the Messiah did give Israel their opportunity to have their kingdom. He gave his life, and that had to happen. That wasn't a surprise to anybody that knew the scriptures, because the prophets testified. And Jesus Christ himself said that I have to go up to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the Gentiles, then die, be buried, and I will rise again on the third day. And so all of that was the divine plan of God for the redemption of Israel, and he fulfilled all of that. And now let's go to the Lord Jesus Christ, while I walk on this earth. He started talking about his second coming. Let's go to John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And again, this is going to hit some of you in the face, but he's not talking about us when he's talking here. He's talking to his disciples. And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." When he says that, what is he actually saying? He's going to come back here again with that place that he's prepared for them. "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Where is the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe in the dispensational interpretation of Scripture, or in the common view of eschatology by a big part of the body of Christ? Where is Jesus Christ, when he comes back, going to spend the next 1,000 years? In heaven? Here on earth? He's going to be here on earth. And they're going to spend that time with him. Let's go on. Verse 28. In this same chapter, John 14, verse 28. "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So he's going to go away, and then he's going to come back again. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Now this is the time frame when the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified, buried, and risen. And over a period of 40 days, he has appeared to his disciples and his apostles, up to 500 at one time. He's appeared to many different people, and now he is about to ascend into heaven. And even though we're not going to address a certain portion of Scripture today, just before he ascended, he gave them what we, many people today, call the Great Commission. "Go ye into all the world, making disciples of all nations," something to that effect, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." Well, I can tell you from the truth of God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ never commanded them anything about the gospel of the grace of God. He taught them all about all that the old prophets had taught. He taught them all about the coming kingdom for Israel. And that's what they were commissioned to do. "Now go out into this world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," and all of that. And so now here in Acts 1:9, just prior to this portion of Scripture we're going to read, the disciples had asked him, "Are you now?" I can imagine they were asking it with excitement and anticipation. "Are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" That's what they were looking for. That's what they were desirous of. And now here's what he said, or here's what occurs. He tells them it's not for you to know the times or seasons, that type of thing. And then in verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to come right back. We just read in Isaiah, when he comes back this time here, he's going to put his foot down on the Mount of Olives. And it's going to crack and it's going to split wide open with a big valley. All of these things, that's how he's going to come back, right to the same place he left. Many people see this as a reference, some way, to what we call the rapture. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with that. The rapture was a mystery or a secret. And even though it's part of Scripture, we really get in trouble and lead ourselves to confusion and error when we take things that were given to the Apostle Paul and extract them out of that context and that setting, and try to bring them back and put them in the New Covenant setting or in Israel's gospel, because they are both distinct messages. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and 25, the apostles are asking the Lord Jesus Christ about his second coming. They know and are somewhat aware that he's going to leave them some way, even though they don't really understand his death, burial, and resurrection. They never understood it until after Pentecost. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. The Lord said, Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And again, in the King James Version, it says that in the end of the world. And as a non-believer, but having been religious and indoctrinated in a Christian religion, so to speak, whenever I heard the end of the world, I pictured a big cataclysmic explosion or something, and it was all over. And that used to really be fearful for me. Anymore, I'm not a bit fearful of that. I know that I'll never live long enough to see any event like that whatsoever. There will be one day a new heaven and a new earth, for the old will be burned up as if by fire. But I won't be here. I won't be on this earth when that event occurs. But anyway, there's another important thing here. What will be the sign of your coming? Because in Israel's religion, in Israel's prophecies, in all about the second coming, there's a lot of references to signs and wonders in the heavens and all kinds of things. They have things that they can look at and see. And look up, because the time is near when they see these things happening. Let's jump down to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, what's the time frame that he's referring to? It's prior to his coming. It's not today. And this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And so it's not when the gospel of the grace of God and the last, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in and all the different phrases like that concerning the church, the body of Christ. This is all talking about a future time prior to his coming. Let's go down to verse 21. Still talking about this same time frame. Verse 21 of Matthew 24. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. People might complain a little bit about how rough we have it now. And in the United States, it's getting almost pathetic on how spoiled we are. If we look around the world and see the conditions of the world and starvation and hunger and all those things, how wonderfully God has blessed this nation. But it's the worst day today and since the beginning of time doesn't compare to the way it's going to be just prior to the second coming of Christ. And so it goes on to say, it's unequal to the world till now and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. But for the sake of those that God has ordained to be redeemed, those days will be shortened. Now let's jump down to verse 27 of the same chapter. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And then let's jump back just for a second to Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching at Pentecost. And there's this sound of a rushing wind, and the tongues of fire come down and rest on the apostles. And the people, they start speaking in other tongues. And the people are saying, well, they're drunk, and all of that. And Peter tells him, these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's but the, I think, the ninth hour or the whatever hour it was of the day. It was early yet. And so he says, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke. I haven't gotten to the verse yet. Acts chapter 2 and verse 19. Now many people today believe that the church, the body of Christ, began here with Peter's message, and the church began there. There's no real biblical support for that, because at the end of that, and I don't think it's in my notes here, but at the end of Peter's message it says, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. So the church must have already been in existence, and those that were saved at Pentecost were added to that group. And remember, we've had discussions on the word church. The church has different groups. It depends on what church is being talked about. But we don't have time for all that this morning. But let's stay with this one right here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm sorry. No, right now it's Acts chapter 2, I think. Acts chapter 2 and 19. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And so Peter's message is about this glorious day of the Lord, his second coming. It's not about the rapture. It's got nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. It has to do with God's promises to Israel. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 now. Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. Now remembering again that this is all dealing with Israel and keeping it in its context. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But this is how God fulfilled what He had foretold through all His prophets. Now the message of the church, the message of the gospel, the grace of God, was a secret hid in God until He revealed it to the Apostle Paul. This is no secret. This is how God fulfilled all that He promised to the apostle or the prophets, saying that His Christ would suffer. Repent then. And by the way, this is Peter talking to the Israelites again, the Jews. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That times of refreshing that will come from the Lord is the new kingdom that they're promised. And that He may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. That's what Peter's saying. Repent of what you've done. You've killed the Messiah. You've killed the Son of God. If you'll repent, God will send Jesus back and we will have our kingdom. And he goes on to say, verse 21, He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. And so what he's saying here is that before he's got to stay in heaven until God completes what He's promised. And what's yet to be completed for Israel is the 70th week of Daniel's vision, the tribulation period, the 7-year period where God's going to judge the earth and judge the nations and judge His people. And then Christ will come back. Okay, let's go to Matthew 24. We're jumping back again into that same chapter that was all about the second coming. Now, just again to refresh our minds and get this in our heads so we keep things in context, the second coming is dealing with Christ coming to the earth to set up His kingdom for Israel. And so now, chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 36. Still in that same chapter, they ask Him, what will be the sign of your coming? He's talking about this. And He says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And now He's going to give some description. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating.